Let me just pray before I give a short message. Lord God, we thank you for your word, for your scripture. We thank you, Lord, that they are thousands of years old and they're accurate of what actually happened 2,000 years ago. Lord, please speak through the words that I've prepared. Amen. So today is Good Friday, but it's really only part one of the story. Part two is coming on Sunday. Please don't leave Jesus on the cross. It's like watching Empire Strikes Back and not watching Return of the Jedi. You'll never know how it turns out until you see the next film. I don't know what your memories are of Good Friday, but I grew up on the Isle of Sheppey, and we used to do marches. Three different marches would meet together at a little place called Bunny Bank. And we put the crosses in on this big hill, and everyone could see the hill for a long distance away. And some really good memories, including hot cross buns after the service were given out. Although they too were cold cross buns. We don't have hot cross buns, everything's cold. But I don't know what your experience as a child. My thinking was really strange because I felt really uncomfortable between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, because I knew that Jesus died on Good Friday and rose again on the Sunday. So I didn't know whether God would hear my prayers or not. You know, it's like just put him on the answer machine, and then when Jesus is alive again, he'll get round to answering them. But it was all that little period of time from Good Friday to Easter Sunday was like, can God hear me? But of course, he did die and he did rise again, and he doesn't do that every year. It's a one-off thing that happened. So we're meeting today, aren't we, at 2 p.m. this afternoon. In our scripture, the story that we read about happened around this time of day. We know from scripture. Now, today we were giving hot cross buns out. This week, it's been amazing how we've had this lovely sunshine, and then suddenly, very quickly, the sky has turned dark and rain has come. This event had darkness for 3 hours. And at 3 o'clock, we know that Jesus gave up his life. So we are meeting around the same time of day. And this event, of course, was earth-shattering. Quite literally, there was an earthquake. And many people from their tombs came out. So can you imagine if you were in Jerusalem and suddenly there's all these biblical characters just saying hello to you. You think, I just met. You just think, wow. Yeah, wow. All these dead people back alive. It was earth-shattering. And Matthew, the Jewish tax collector, wrote down this amazing detailed account of the crucifixion of Christ for his Jewish readers. Now, from a human perspective, it was Bad Friday. When I go into schools and talk to children and trying to convince them why it's called Good Friday, they can't always get their head round. Why is it called Good Friday? Because the person we love died on the cross. Well, that's not happy, is it? That's not. So you're trying to explain to a child what Good Friday means is very difficult. And from a human perspective, it was a bad Friday. Jesus was betrayed by a friend. Most of his friends were cowards. They ran away. The future leader of the church, Peter, denied that he knew Jesus 3 times. Jesus was beaten, he was tortured, imprisoned, unfairly tried and rejected by his people. They chose a murderer and freed Barabbas and crucified Jesus. And he was crucified not quietly out the way, but publicly in front of a massive crowd that had gathered into Jerusalem for Passover. He died in front of his mum, which is horrendous. And while he was dying, the religious and political figures were mocking him. He died on a cross. And more to the point, Deuteronomy 21 says that any man that is hung on a tree is cursed. Acts 13:29 relates the cross as being a tree. Jesus died on a tree. And Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. So just as Jesus wasn't the king that the people were expecting, his death was also something that people didn't expect, or were not expecting what actually happened. So what turns a bad Friday into a good Friday, and why? First of all, Jesus fulfilled his mission. We read the story from a human perspective. Poor Jesus. He got caught up in all of this. He got arrested, he got beaten, he killed, and everything like that. Jesus wanted to do that. It says at least three times Jesus knew he was going to die on the cross. And not just he knew he was going to die, his purpose was to go and die. He fulfilled his mission. Read Isaiah 53, written hundreds of years before Christ, prophesying about the suffering servant. Jesus was fulfilling scripture. So one of those times, let's have a look at that in Matthew 16:21-23. We probably know this story really well. He says to Peter, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, be killed and be raised again. Yes, Jesus told Peter he was going to rise from the dead. You do wonder what goes through the minds of his disciples when, I told you I'm going to rise from the dead. Do you believe me, Peter? He said to Peter he was going to die, be killed and raised again. Peter then rashly began to rebuke Jesus, and Christ responded, get behind me, Satan. That must have hurt Peter. But you know what? I would have said the same thing to Jesus. If I had got someone here that I love so much, and that person says, you know what, I'm going to die soon, I'm going to be killed. I said, no, I'm going to make sure that you don't go to Jerusalem. And he says, get behind me, Satan. It's like, wow. Ooh, ouch. But because Jesus had a task, he had a mission. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. Nobody forced him to go to Jerusalem. He was obedient to death on a cross. A second point where it's good is because Jesus restored our relationship. Have you ever fallen out with someone you love big time? Okay, all those silences as you walk past each other. All those awkward silences, yes. The relationship breaks down. And it's an icy feeling, isn't it? And maybe about something that's going on in your life today even. Well, this is a story of mankind's relationship with God. We broke a relationship with God from the very beginning. And God sent his Son to come and restore that relationship. Romans 5, we all know those verses that says that while we were enemies, Christ died for us. The good news is that you didn't do anything. God sent Jesus to restore that relationship with God. The reason why you can go home tonight and pray to Jesus and have that relationship is because of what happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. The curtain. Sylvia read about the curtain. Does everyone know what that symbolizes? Okay, in the Holy of Holies, there was a curtain, and the presence of God was in that room behind the curtain, and only one person can go on behalf of the people. So imagine if that was it, and those curtains were drawn, and you were praising God, and you said your prayers. I said, right, I'll just go and tell God, shall I? Imagine those curtains just pulled back and said, no, don't need you, Jonathan, to come and share. Actually, everybody is welcome to come to God in prayer. That's what the symbol of the curtain ripping in two means, that all of you are now priests, the priesthood of all believers. And the third thing that makes it good, Good Friday, is Jesus conquered death. The sad news for us is we're all going to die one day. And since I've been here, sadly, we've had 5 people pass away. And what are some of the questions that those who don't believe is, well, I don't know what's beyond the grave. Well, we know someone who does know what's beyond the grave, came back to life to tell us what's going to happen, and we can have that relationship, and we can be have hope and faith in Christ that he will rescue us from death. Revelations 1:18 says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Christ died. He went where all of us are going to, and he defeated Satan, and he has the victory. And on Sunday, we're going to sing Thine Be the Glory, one of my favorite hymns, declaring that the glory belongs to Jesus because he has conquered death. As Christians, then, we know that Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the hope. Death is not the end, and death has been defeated. Jesus offers us that new life. And we all know John 3:16, don't we? That God so loved this world. Let's change the world and put your name in. For God so loved Jonathan. For God so loved Evelina. For God so loved Frank. That he gave his only son so that anyone who believes in him will not die, but have an eternal life. Have you accepted that new life? Because if you haven't, today could be your Good Friday. Finally, back to the cross. I love history, as some of you know. And part of history is imagining what happens and placing yourself in that position. One of my hobbies, things that I like, are battlefields. Evelyn can tell you this. I love going to a battlefield, and Evelyn will say, it's just grass. No, it's not just grass. Can you look at that. Can you see? That's where those stood. That's where those soldiers stood. I like history. And what I want you to think about now is I want to transport you 2,000 years ago to the scene of the crucifixion. And my question to you is, where would you have stood at that crucifixion? Where would you have been at that time 2,000 years ago? Would you have been close to the cross? Now, it's easy for us because our life is not in danger. There's a reason why Jesus' friends stood at a distance. Would you have stood near the cross with people swearing and screaming and blaspheming and shouting all sorts of obscenities at Christ? Where would you have stood 2,000 years ago? As Sylvia read the scripture today, there's a lot of details from Matthew. And going through the list of those who were there, I recognize a lot of the characteristics in people today. Take Simon of Cyrene from Libya, North Africa. He was forced to carry the cross. The fact that he's called Simon and everyone knows who he is suggests that he was at one point in the church. And actually his children are mentioned as well, I think in Romans. So Simon, we believe, was a believer, but it all started with him being forced to carry the cross. Simon of Cyrene, for me, represents all of us who were forced to go to church. How many of us had to go to church? Okay. I had to go to church, and at 6, I became a Christian. That's just like Simon of Cyrene. He was forced to carry the cross. Why am I doing this? Because you have to, says the Romans. He ends up being someone in church, a Christian, and his children grew up as believers. Then you got the Roman soldiers dividing up Jesus' clothes. For me, these people represent those who have no time for religion, no time for Christ. They're too busy thinking about what they can gain from this world. They're looking at Jesus' clothes, but they don't realize who is on the cross. And there's lots of people out there. We try and talk to them about Christ. We try and evangelize. Their head is in money and wealth. They don't realize who Christ is. When I put the soldier that put the sign up, Jesus, King of the Jews, this represents those who think that Jesus is only for others. You know the people that said, I've heard all about Jesus. I know people who, that, you know, that's for them. It's not for me. Or perhaps, well, it's for the Jews. It's not for me. But Christ is for you and for me. Then you got the thief that is crucified next to Jesus. He represents all of those who recognizes God's amazing grace. He didn't deserve anything. He's going to die. And he was one of the first people into heaven after Christ died. Then you got those shouting at Jesus. They represent those who flatly reject Jesus as the Son of God. Maybe people who are angry with God. You know the people who say, well, if God is God, why doesn't he heal that person? Well, if God is a God of love, why does he allow famine? Why does he allow wars? They were saying the same sort of thing. Well, if he's Jesus, why can't he get down from the cross? And there were a few people today we met in town who perhaps had those attitudes of kind of, I don't need Jesus. Why should I? Then you got the religious folk, those who represent those with religious understandings, but are challenged by Christ. But they ask questions. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Maybe seeing is believing. Then you got those who have misunderstood. They thought he was calling down Elijah. He wasn't calling down Elijah, but they misunderstood. They think they know the Bible, but they don't. The amount of times that I had talks and discussions with people in the past, and they think we believe something that we don't. And we say, no, that's not what Christians believe. But don't you believe? No, I don't believe that. And nor does my church. They just hear things, and they think that's what we believe. We had people like that 2,000 years ago. One second. Then you had the centurion. Surely he was the Son of God. It represents those who acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. But what next? They represent people, perhaps who come to our church, maybe friends of our church. They've heard of Jesus so often. But what next? Maybe what next is to become a member, be baptized, be part of our fellowship. And finally, Jesus' friends and family, they represent us. All these people have one thing in common from 2,000 years ago. You had a mixture of people with all different ideas, but they were all gathered at the cross. And most of them had no understanding of what the cross actually meant and what Jesus did for them. So 2,000 years later, we can come to the cross too. No matter how you're feeling, no matter what you're thinking, we can come and we can recognize that Jesus died for us. We can come asking for forgiveness and repenting. We're going to have a time of prayer and reflection as we think about being led to the cross. John records in chapter 19, verse 34, that a soldier pierced Jesus' side, and blood and water flowed. His blood was shed for you and for me. What we're going to do now is we're going to have a little bit of silence, and then we're going to play a song, O Lead Me to the Cross. And we have some paper here called dissolving paper, so it's not going to cause too much problems. And we'll have a time of prayer, then I want you to either write your name or put an X. And I want you to come up, if you want to, that is, and place it in the bowl of red water that symbolises the blood of Christ. It's a symbol that you have been forgiven, that no matter where you've been in life, you have arrived at the cross.